Man, you gonna put me in the hospital or something? And also, I was gonna say something. I lost my train of thought. I was gonna tell you. It's a pecan pie comment, wasn't it? Well, I really wanted to tell you, but it's okay. Yeah, we're having a cookout that day too, for the parents and everybody. So we'll all come out and have a joyous time. Oh, yeah. Oh, you won't get to be here, will you? Will you be here on that day? Okay, awesome. Yeah, 31st, sorry. I just kind of had this. Anyways, you got to overlook me. Because she's like, 31st. I'm like, does that mean you're not going to be here? Anyways. Okay, announcements. We decided not to do the August 6th deal at the park. But we are going to be part of the, I have no idea what this festival is about. It's Cowpea Festival. And, and I don't know why they call it that. Cowpea Festival. Yeah. But anyway, P-E-A. But it's going to be in, that's what it's called, I'm telling you guys. I'm not lying. I mean, it's out there in Charleston somewhere. And so, it wouldn't be in Polk County at all, would it? But anyways, it's going to be in Charleston. And there's a lot of people that go out there, so we're going to go to that. And what we want to do is participate in the community, the events that the community is throwing. So that way we can participate and impact people that way. And so I figured it would be better to do that than to do the August 6th deal. Okay, I believe that's all the announcements, really, for now, isn't it? Okay, next Monday, they're going to have a Bridge in the Gap next door, and it'll be for the youth. Yes, okay. Casey will be over there, and what they do, they turn out the lights, and they put a spotlight on you, and they interrogate you. No, it'll be an interview. It'll be what Casey's learned, you know, what God has showed him, and they'll probably talk about. I don't know what the subject matter will be, but the time I went, the first time, it was on integrity, and we talked about integrity. So it was good. I really enjoyed it, and the reason why it's called Bridge of the Gap is that we want to bridge the gap between generations, have the generations to come together. We don't want to see the 60, 70, 80-year-old separated from the 20, 30-year-old. You know, we want generation. We want synergy. We want generations to come together. We want the Joshua and the Moses to come together, the Elijah and the Elisha come together. So, because the stats say that young people, after they graduate, when they get 18, they leave. You know, most of them leave the church, and we want to bridge that gap, and we want to have that relational connection with young people, with the youth. So. Next Monday.
So you're only doing it every other week?
Yeah, it's every other Monday.
Okay. Yep.
And don't forget the 31st, the morning service, Rick Warman and his two daughters will be doing worship.
Okay. Rick Warman will be here. He'll be leading worship. Rhonda already said it, but I'll say it again. But Rick Warman will be playing, and it'll be on Sunday morning, July 31st. And they're really good, anointed people. So, all right.
They've come a long way. He used to lead worship here, but his daughters are playing with him now, and they are really doing an awesome job.
Yes. Yeah, I seen a video of it. It's really good. Okay, what else? There's something else. There's not. I'm just trying to. Okay, Acts chapter 5. Everybody say restoring reverence of God. I want to read this chapter here. This chapter has been really, has really instilled reverence in me for God, because you could imagine when we read the scripture, this passage scripture, I want you to put yourself in this event as it's happening. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. Excuse me. His wife, also being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. And so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. And now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." And then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. This is one of the most interesting passages of Scripture I've read, because you have this couple that is in the church that lies to the Holy Spirit, lies to God. And the Lord, in this chapter here, this couple actually falls dead. And I believe, the Scripture, I don't believe there's any symbolic symbolism going on here. I believe this is literal, guys. You know, this really happened. And I think a lot of times we don't take the things of God very seriously. Of course, I believe that God wants us to live with joy. I believe that God wants us to live, what is that? Live, love, laugh. Did I get it? Live, laugh, and love. God wants us to do that. I really believe that. But sometimes I feel like sometimes people don't take the weightiness and the seriousness of God's word and the seriousness, for instance, of the importance of actually attending the house of God with your brothers and sisters. You know, some people will just lightly joke around about that and say, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do these things. I don't have to be around God's people. When actually the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So it's important for us to come together and reverence God. For instance, this is some of the things that I've seen growing up and even until now, where people would just, the minister, you know, he would have a word from the Lord. And man, there'd be people not listening, just running around, not paying attention, and there's no reverence there. There's no reverence for God. I've seen it in the church before, and I've seen it outside the church. And I bring this up all the time. I know I do, especially on Facebook. We see a lot of no reverence for God on Facebook and things. And now, you know, you read, it's just terrible. I won't even go through the details here, because it's so bad of how they disrespect God, dishonor God. And it's by the mercy of God that this doesn't happen to them in this chapter, you know. And I see this happen to this couple, and Peter just tells them, look, you know, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? You know, he lied to God. And I wonder how many of us have lied to God ourselves. You know, we tell God one thing, but God knows our heart, doesn't he? God knows our heart. He knows everything. He knows what's in there. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so when I read this chapter about this couple, this drastic consequence of lying to God, I think this should instill a reverence in us. This fear, it's not the kind of fear that the enemy gives. You know, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. But there is a reverence, there is a reverential fear that I believe that the church needs to have. You know, when we begin to praise God and we begin to worship God, man, like when Elijah was leading worship a while ago, you know, in my heart, in my spirit, I was with the cherubim. Singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." I was with the seraphim. I was with them. I am praising, I am worshiping God with the host of heaven. So not only am I worshiping God with you, I'm worshiping God with all of the host of heaven. I'm joining with them because they're always doing it. They're always worshiping God. So I just need to chime in every once in a while, you know, and get in tune with God and to see what God wants for me in my life, you know. And I think, and you could see the reverence they have for God. I mean, it's continuous, isn't it? They're always singing this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and is to come. It says it in Ezekiel. It says it in Isaiah. And it says it in the book of Revelation. And you take Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, and said that in the days of Uzziah, King Uzziah, you know, he in the year that he died, you know, he seen the Lord high and lifted up, right? Seen the Lord high and lifted up, and he said that he took an angel took a coal, right, and put it on his lips, and cleansed him. Could you imagine the reverence that he had during that vision? It was so reverential. It was so. And listen, when you understand the presence of God and that He's here, man, you don't want to talk. You don't want to talk to anybody, man. You got your focus on God, right? Man, your focus is on God. You want to focus on Him because, man, you want to reverence Him. And I believe that, and it is, I'm telling you, it's the mercy of God. You know, I hear people, you know, they take God's name in vain, you know, just treat His name like it's, you know, blaspheme Him and just do these things. Man, it is the mercy of God that nothing even happens to them. It is definitely the mercy of God. Because listen, the Lord has the ability, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, the Lord has the ability to do anything He wants to do. And He could. You know, we say a lot, God's going to strike lightning down on you. Well, I mean, He could actually do that, guys. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. He is almighty. He's creator. He's redeemer. So we're not afraid of God, but I believe that some of us have lost the reverential fear of God, where being with God's people is not as important anymore, or even opening the Bible and reading it is not important anymore, or even your prayer time with God, it's not real important anymore, or praying before you eat. You know, that's not, you know, some people, they don't really value that anymore. And so there's no reverence there. And we wonder why we're having these problems, we're having these struggles in our lives, is because we're not putting God first in these areas. And when you don't put God first in these areas and have this reverence for Him, man, you're just excluding God. You're just putting God out of the picture. And I hear people, in the school system, you know, they say, you know, where's God at? These things are happening. You know, where's God at? Well, they kicked Him out, you know. Even in this nation, with all this, did y'all hear about that shooting that just happened in Louisiana? About the three police? All these things are happening. The reason why people are doing, they think that violence is going to fix violence. It doesn't work that way. They think hate is going to fix hate. But let me tell you, you know what the problem is? It's sin. That people do not have a reverence for God. When you have a reverence for God, you understand that violence isn't going to fix anything. You understand that even lashing out at people is not going to fix anything. When you have a reverence for God, you're going to get on your knees and you're going to pray and you're going to love and you're going to put God first in your life, and you're not going to get caught up in all the hogwash. I'm telling you, there are so many opinions out there. There are so many opinions, but they're not even rooted in the Word of God. Not even rooted in it. And this is why you have all this confusion. You have all this chaos. Anytime God is not reverenced, anytime there is not a fear of God, there is chaos. I'm telling you. It's chaos. And I know y'all agree with it. You've seen it. You've seen it in your life. I've seen it in my life. When you don't reverence God and be serious and take God seriously at His word, you know, this is not a joke. You know, when we come here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, whenever we live our lives, we don't need to live as though God is some kind of a joke, or church is a joke, or we treat it like a light thing. This is not a light thing, guys. Us being here at 4 o'clock, we came here at 4 o'clock, we've been here, we've been worshiping the Lord. You know, this is not a light thing. And I know sometimes, and I've struggled with this. You know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, we've got about 10 people here. You know, and I used to struggle with that. And that's not even reverencing God. When I'm trying to keep count on numbers, I need to reverence God. I'm in the presence of God right now. God is on the throne. And I need to be focused on that. We need to be focused on that. And when I read this passage, I'm thinking, Lord, wow. I wonder if there's been times where that could have happened to me in my life. Because none of us we've all sinned, haven't we? And come short of the glory of God. And I thought, man, my goodness. And if the latter rain is a continuation of the former rain, as it says in the book of Haggai, what if great fear comes upon the church? This kind of fear comes upon the church. Wow, look what God did. The power of God. I love teaching doctrine. I love teaching doctrine. I love teaching character development. I love teaching how you can be sanctified and grow in the Lord. But I believe when we pray and reverence God, that's when the power of God is shown. Because Peter didn't preach a 3-point sermon here, guys. Peter, he didn't hold a church service structure. There was no structure here. This was the literal power of God being demonstrated right here. And I believe that we're going to see the power of God being demonstrated, because this nation, listen, there's something, we already know this, I can feel it, you can feel it. There's going to be a shaking in this nation. Yeah. We know this, we know that. There's going to be a shaking, and whatever's not of God, it's going to fall. And man, it's going to be, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but this is the truth. There's some things going to happen in this nation, in this country. We all see it. We see the path it's going down. You turn on the news, and there's always some kind of chaos going on. It's nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. You turn it on, and you're like, why would people talk like that? Why would people even think like that? Why would they even have this? Why would they even do that? You know, and behavior is abnormal. Which I believe there's evil spirits that are working behind the scenes. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers, spiritual darkness. You can read it in Ephesians chapter 6. And so we don't, listen, it's not the people, it's the spirit that's behind this stuff. And God's hand, listen, God's hand is still here. Keeping things, he's actually holding these things together. And there's things that are happening in this nation, but God's still showing his mercy and God's still showing his grace. And I know that things are happening in the world also. I'm not trying to confine our own little world to this nation, to this country. I know there's a universe out there. But there are things happening in this world. Man, there is a shaking going on. There's revival happening in a lot of parts of this world. But man, there's a lot of confusion. And a lot of chaos that's happening in this world. And, you know, I hear people say, we got to change. We got to do something. We got to do something. Well, you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to reverence God. You need to put God first. And now, you know, people are just, I don't know what the word to use here. They just nonchalantly just post stuff on social media and they just say stuff and they're half-hearted. They're half-hearted with, they don't put all they have for God. And there's no reverence there. And they just kind of halfway do things. They halfway serve the Lord. They halfway, everything they do for God, whatever it is, they halfway do it. And the Bible, I think the Bible says that's being lukewarm, doesn't it? If you, there's no way, you can't preach the Word of God and be half-hearted about it. You got to give your whole heart. You can't just be on the worship team and give just half your heart to it. You got to give your whole heart. And there's no way, it's impossible to serve God with half-heartedness. You can't serve God with half-heartedness. You either serve him with your whole heart or you don't. And that's the way I believe it. I believe that we should serve God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might. And now, this is my experience that I've heard throughout the week, meeting with people, you know, on the street, stores, whatever, and they'll do this. Man, it's bad, ain't it? Man, it's bad. And they're living in sin, you know. And they even know it. They even know it's bad. And they're it's like the enemy has blinded them from the solution. They don't even see it because they've been blinded. The Bible said, didn't Paul say this in 2 Corinthians? He said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And those who don't believe are blinded by the enemy. And what we see, we're like, can't you see it? Can't you see what's happening? Can't you see Jesus is coming soon? Can't you see what's happening? The Lord is coming back very soon. Look, 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 look. And they're like, whatever. You know, y'all been saying Jesus has been coming back for years and years. You know, and they don't see it. They're blinded by it. And, you know, we're like, you got to pray. You need to get in church. You need to serve God. You need to reverence God. You need to put Him first. And they're like, oh, well, whatever, you know. And it's the God of this world. And that's the reason why prayer is so important, because prayer is what knocks down those walls that the enemy has put up. Prayer is how you war against the enemy. Praise is how you war against, worship is how you war against the enemy. Because I'm telling you, I believe that, you know, I said a while ago, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, spiritual darkness. We wrestle against spirits. And what, you know what we do? We try to wrestle the devil in his, on his turf. Wow, it's raining. We try to wrestle the devil on his turf. When in actuality, if we'll take him, if we'll begin to pray and begin to fight him on God's turf. Did y'all catch that? I don't know if that made any sense or not. But a lot of times when we try to fight the devil with our own flesh, you cannot defeat spiritual darkness. You cannot defeat principalities. You cannot defeat powers without prayer. There's no way you can do it. And this is the reason why it's dangerous to witness to people, to do these things without prayer. You know? And I think prayer is the foundation for everything that we do. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. And so the power of God, and I know that you don't want this to happen to you. Now put yourself in this situation. Let's say somebody here at the church lies to the Holy Spirit and something like this happens. Boy, there'd be a lot of fear come up on people, wouldn't it? Now, I don't wish this to happen at all. I don't think any of us do, you know. And some of you are probably thinking, wow, preacher, I can't believe you preached that passage of Scripture. Well, we are supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, aren't we? You know, we're supposed to preach the whole thing. And so I believe that we need to restore. We need to tell people. We have a responsibility. We know this. And I think every one of us here know the importance of having this reverential fear of God. We all know this. But I think it's our responsibility to tell others about this reverential fear. Look, our teenagers, you know, sometimes they can get out of hand, you know, joking around and stuff. But man, there's a time where, you know, there's a time to be quiet, you know. There's a time where you need to be praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, not talking or playing. And I'm not against having fun at all. I think the Lord wants us to have fun. But man, the Lord could be working on somebody's heart, and you got everybody over here just hollering, hooting and hollering and acting like nothing's going on. Man, what if Jesus actually walked in here? What would our reaction be? What would our reaction be if he walked in the form of a person of who he is, and he walked in here and he said, hello, Austin, or, you know, hey, Rhonda, you know, or something, I'm the one who you serve, you know, I'm the one. I think, I don't know, man. I think I would just kind of like pass out or something. I mean, I would be like on my back or on my knees or something, and I'd probably hug him to death. I'd probably like, I'd probably squeeze the breath out of him. I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's you. And that's the way I'd be. Shouldn't we be that way in worship? You see what I'm saying? When we're worshiping God, that's the way we need to view it. That's the way we need to view it. We reverence God. This is Him. He's here. I love you. and this is why I think people don't have this reverence, because they don't look at God as actually being present. They don't think He's actually present. And because they don't think He's actually present, they just kind of joke around, whatever, you know. Don't treat things seriously. It's a light thing. Church is a light thing. You know, preaching is just a light thing, you know. It's not serious. Listen, it is a matter of life and death. And whenever I'm preaching, and this is my example, and we need to tell others about this. Whenever you're preaching, whenever you're witnessing or whatever, we need to act as if Jesus in the person is here. Do you know why we need to act as though if he's in the person that he's here? You know why we need to act that way? Because he is. I remember one time, this has been a long time since we met. We met for breakfast one day, I think. Me and Elijah did. I think he remembers. And we just had this epiphany. I don't know what it was. We were just sitting there at the table. And we were acting like little kids. We were just like little kids, you know, because it was so amazing what this revelation
it was. God was like tangible in that moment.
Yeah, and I was like, he's right here, ain't he? And Elijah's like, yeah, he's right here, like you, sitting here. And I was like, wow. And I started getting chill bumps, you know. I was like, he's here, you know. And some of us probably thought, or somebody else probably thought we was crazy looking at us in there. But that's the kind of consciousness we need. We need that awareness that God is present like that. No matter what I'm going through, no matter how I feel, God is always present with me in person right here, in me, beside me, over me. That's awesome. And I think if we could see him visibly, I think, I don't know what, Tommy probably could start crying, you know. I'd fall on the ground. Because that's Jesus, man. I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's the scars in his hands. It has to be him. And then I see Jordan like kissing him on the face, kissing him on the cheek, like, man, it's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. I think that's the way our worship services need to be. When we come in here on Sunday mornings, we would come here on Sunday nights, we need to be so in love with Jesus. Jesus, you're here. Hallelujah, you're here, Lord. We reverence you, God. We have a reverence for you. You saved us. You rescued us. You changed our hearts. You're present here with us. Lord, we want you. Wow. Sorry. That mic is kind of crazy when you take a deep breath. But mercy and grace that God gives us, it's amazing. And so it's my prayer. It is my prayer that nothing like that happens here at any church, that would actually happen to a couple. But I think this right here tells us the seriousness of what can actually happen if we don't take things seriously, if we don't take God seriously. I think it can really wake us up to some things. So when we come here to worship, okay? When we come here to worship, when we go to another church to worship, when we do things, we need to have this mindset. God is present. It is like he is here. And I'm going to kneel. Man, I'll kiss Jesus' feet, man. He's so wonderful. Man, I'll be like, Jesus, man. Hallelujah. You know, this is him. Anyways, I'm going crazy with it. But we need to understand that. We need to have that mindset. God is always present. And the reason why there's chaos and the reason why there's confusion that's going on in this world is because people, even the church, I believe the church has lost some reverence too. I believe they've lost reverence of who God really is. Man, this is God. This is the one who spoke the world into existence with his mouth. He's the one that I've got. I'm not real good with science or anything, but I've got like thousands of muscles in my body. My organs are working together. My eye is sophisticated. You know, it's very sophisticated. Our eyes are sophisticated. We can see a long ways. Man, our bodies work in tandem. The sun rises and it sets. It rises and it sets. It rises and it sets every day. And the Lord is doing it. And every day we see the awesomeness of God. That should instill reverence in us. When we hear the birds singing in the morning, we should have this mindset of, whoa, God spoke that bird into existence to sing in the morning so that I could hear it and see it I can see the sunrise. I can see the sunset. I see the beautiful ocean. I see the beautiful river. What a reverence we should have for God. God created this for us. He's an awesome God. Trillions of billions of galaxies in this universe. And He holds them together. He holds them together by the word of His power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1. Holds them together by the word of His power. I think we should have a reverence for God, don't you? I think we should have a reverential fear where we come before God, and when we understand He's in the room, nothing else matters. We focus on Him. Amen. Tell the kids to be quiet, right? Tell the kids, be quiet. God's here. You know, focus on Him. I believe when we do that and when we have that understanding and we tell other people that, it'll change their hearts, it'll change their lives. I really believe that. So I pray that blessing on you. And you can go ahead and sing us a song if you'd like to, Elijah, if you want to. It's up to you. If not, okay. Praise the Lord. And what we'll do, we'll just come up here and pray. I'd like for all of us to come up here and pray at the altar. And after we get done praying, we'll fellowship and just worship the Lord, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God.